You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the second Race to Dubai show of the season as Amazing Grace cruises to victory at the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa.
You know, this is one that I think any South African wants to tick off the list. But, you know, it's a little bit extra special being the first guy to win both Dunhills.
So Brandon Grace completes a comprehensive wire-to-wire victory at Leopard Creek to finish seven shots clear of compatriot Louis Oosthuizen.
Brandon played some unbelievable golf. Great playing for him.
We'll hear from both golfers as well as Lee Westwood, who captured his 14th title in Asia with a one-shot victory at the Thailand Golf Championship.
It'll be a great Christmas. There's nothing like finishing off a year strongly to give you a bit of momentum going into next year.
All that to come as the tour takes a well-earned three-week break before returning to South Africa in January. Ewan, good day to you.
Good day, Rob. I'm in top form, are you?
Yes. Christmas shopping done?
Ah, yes.
Yes. Oh, you're overly prepared this year, I noticed. I haven't bought a present yet. Going to be in trouble if I don't get myself sorted out. Won't be pleasant Christmas Day without some presents underneath the tree, that is for sure. What about the win then for Brandon Grace? Started with a 62 and never looked back, really.
Thrilled for Brandon because he had such a tough year to follow when he won five times, four of them on the European Tour, and this one's been a while coming. The way he won it from start to finish, immensely impressive, and just confirms the talent he has.
Yeah, I mean, 62-66, flying, and then the only sticky patch he had was a 72 in the third round, which let the pack close up. Is he the sort of player that you thought might panic if that had happened?
He would have done perhaps before the five victories, but knowing what it takes to get himself over the line, I think he had that power of patience, he had the gift of calmness, and in the end it was a walk in the park.
A walk in the game park. What about the golf course itself? Does it suit long hitters or accurate hitters? What's the sort of player that's going to win around there?
Well, it's always very warm there. You've always got temperatures up around 95, sometimes 100 degrees, so the ball travels a long way. So you can be put off by the yardage of the golf course thinking it's long. It really doesn't play like that, but some very dangerous holes. A lot of water on the back nine, notably 13 and 18. 14's not an easy hole, although it's only a three wood and a wedge for these players. It's an excellent golf course. It's got a good combination of threes, fours and fives, and 62 I thought was exceptional.
OK, let's hear from the man himself, Brandon Grace. He spoke to Nick Dye afterwards.
You know, this is one that I think any South African wants to tick off the list. But, you know, it's a little bit extra special, obviously, winning, being the first guy to win both Dunhills, you know. So that's something for the record books. But, you know, it's just to be in a great finish to an amazing week at an amazing place.
It was the Dunhill Links Championship, your last victory back in 2012. Did you wonder when the next one was coming along?
I was. You know, it's amazing how quickly 2 years go past. You know, you stand there, you think, geez, the exemption is done. You know, when is the next one going to knock? But, you know, it's been a great week. It's been a hard year, but, you know, the last couple of months' hard work's been paid off, and, you know, it's just great to be able to do it at this special place.
I take it the style of the victory is all the more special, isn't it? To win wire to wire, shooting a 62 on day one.
It is. You know, it's nice that, you know, I've been able to start the week off with a bang, and the same as the Dunhill Links, you know, and keeping the lead throughout the whole tournament. So that's something nice. It's nice to know that I can do that. And obviously now for what's to come, you know, it's nice knowing that if I'm in the position, I know what to do and how to handle myself. So, you know, it's pretty special, but, you know, it's just a great week to finish the season.
I imagine you expected them to come at you on this final day. They did for a little while, but you saw them off.
Exactly. You know, I always thought there was something, you know, Danny and the boys, and you know, they jumped out the block there, you know. So, you know, through the first six holes, I thought, you know, it's going to be a long day. And, you know, with Zach on the bag, you know, kept me really calm, and, you know, I just kept hitting good shot after good shot, and kept, actually, when I missed a shot, I missed on the right spot. So that was the big key today.
Well, you mentioned Zach. He was with you for some of those key moments, particularly in 2012.
Exactly.
It's good to have him back.
It is. You know, it's been a short path back. I think it's only been just over 2 months, but it's been a great short while. So, you know, it's just great finishing off like this.
And those 2 months have been significant for other things as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just the way that it's been grinding, you know, the last couple of months has been great. It's nice to be able to build something up to a win. You know, a lot of times, it's, you know, you work hard off season and you come back and you maybe do it. But, you know, I've been knocking the last couple of weeks, and it's nice to finish it off.
We know what one win did last time.
Exactly. So
yes, it bodes well for 2015.
Exactly. So hopefully we can put it that way for the next season.
Where do you think he comes? You know, if you looked at him and Sterney and Schwartzl and Oosthuizen on the range, where is he as a player compared to the others?
Well, if you look at Schwartzl and Oosthuizen, you're talking about major champions there, so they're up a league. But it's the next step for someone like Brandon Grayson. You know, year by year, South Africa seem to produce some remarkable young talent. And this man's only just in his mid-20s. He's got a long way to go. He's already had 5 wins on the European Tour, which is some achievement. So I expect an awful lot more from Grace over the next 2 or 3 years.
And how key do you think the caddy-player relationship was? He talked about Zach there.
Zach Rosego caddied for Lee Oosthuizen when he won the Open Championship in 2010 at St Andrews. And they were about to split just before that, and Louis kept him for that week, and then they made the change at the end of the year. But Zach is a remarkable character. I've known him for at least 15 years, maybe more than that. And he would have relished that Sunday afternoon at Leopard Creek with another trophy for Brandon Grace. And, of course, another feather in the cap for the caddies as well. You've got to remember, they have their pride also.
Yeah, they've got their playing record, as it were, inverted commas. Well, if he was looking over his shoulder, there were the likes of Danny Willett, Lucas Bjerregaard, Francesco Molinari, Andrew Johnson and others prepared to have a go. It never happened, but Danny Willett playing extremely well for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, and had a good end to the season. Remember, he was fourth in Turkey as well. So he came into the Nedbank Challenge in good form. He brought that form after the victory over to Leopard Creek. And in the end, he didn't get the job done there. But it's going to be a good Christmas for Danny Willett, who's sitting proudly up at the top of the race to Dubai.
Yeah, he's had a great start. In that final round, Brandon Grace in the final 2 ball with Lucas Bjerregaard. Now, Brandon was going very well. Lucas was having just a mental uncoupling. It was all falling apart. Came back in 50. How impressive was it then that Grace played so well, watching his playing partner have to go back to tees, drop again, look for golf balls, while he was trying to stay in the zone?
Not an easy thing to do, because it breaks the rhythm of playing. And as you know, the rhythm is so important. They talk about pre-shot routines. When that's happening alongside you, then they go out of the window and you have to regroup, take your own time that you feel comfortable with. But again, because he had the 4 wins in Europe, the 1 in South Africa, the fact that he knew he was a winner, I think, made it that he could handle any situation, and he did it brilliantly.
And a word for Lucas Bjerregaard, who is a fantastic talent, it's just a blip.
Well, you know, they talk about learning processes and learning curves. He was also in very good shape in the Chase to the Investec Cup, which ends the Sunshine Tour Order of Merit in March, and took 7 there at the 70th hole and let in Trevor Fisher Jr. So you have to make these mistakes. The great thing is you learn from them.
And I must say that his demeanour throughout the stuff that was going on with him in the back 9 was sensational. So well done to Lucas Bjerregaard, and I'm sure there are some big moments around the corner for him. Fantastic prospect, Dane. OK, it was Brandon's 5th European Tour victory in his 121st European Tour event. He moves back into the top 90 in the official world golf rankings from 117th. It's his 3rd European Tour victory on South African soil and the first wire-to-wire winner of the Alfred Dunhill Championship. All good stuff. What about the man who finished a distant 2nd? Let's hear from Louis Oosthuizen, who closed with a 69.
One of my best finishes here ever. Yeah, I had a great week. Found the game during the week. Putted well yesterday, putted nicely today. And just, I tried hard there the back 9 today. Tried to push to get myself to 16 maybe. And, had to go for that shot in the last. It was such a tough one, because if I turn it over right to left, it's going to be too much club. I had to hold it up into the wind almost, and I just didn't hit hard enough. So other than that, all happy. You know, Brandon played some unbelievable golf, and I don't think that he's going to mess this up. So great playing for him.
And it was nice that Louis was there with a bottle of champagne, Ewan, when Brandon Grace finally came off that final green as the champion.
Yes, I think it's rubbed off the Frenchman. I think they were the ones who started it. But Oosthuizen has had his problems this year. He's had a lot of health problems, niggling injuries. The only player last week to have 4 rounds in the 60s. He played well at the Nedbank before. If he can have a season free of any injuries, any pains, I think we'll see the best of Oosthuizen. Remember, he's tucked away a major. He's capable of another.
Now, we must mention Andrew Johnson, who had a really good tournament, finishing 3rd in his first ever event as a cardholder, Ewan.
Well, when you think of the weather in Middlesex, which is his homeland, over the 4 days down he was playing there in Leopard Creek, it's an amazing achievement. But, you know, we've seen players play very well in the Challenge Tour before. We've seen players win the qualifying school. And these first few tournaments are vitally important. So it's a great start for Andrew, and he's got himself a firm foundation on which to build a great career.
Yeah, that's certainly true, Ewan. Well, the great news is we've got him on the line, live from South Africa after his success last week. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Yeah.
What was it like playing, you know, up in amongst the leaders all week long in contention?
Yeah, it was a good learning experience. I really enjoyed it. It's been a really good experience. I think I've picked up a few things. Obviously, playing with Oosterhuizen yesterday, it's been a good experience.
Andrew, you've won just over 100,000 euro. Very important to get off to a fast start, as Tyrrell Hatton proved last year. So a little bit of pressure off you going into 2015.
Yeah, a little bit of pressure off. I think there's not to get complacent, you know, and like push on from there. I don't think you can rely on the one event. I think I've done a few things better and a few things I could improve on. So just got to keep pushing and trying to get better.
I was in the studio with Jean van der Velde when, I think it was Friday, you came down the last after hitting a great tee shot and laid up from what seemed to be a 5 or 6 iron into the green. Would you have a bad lie or something like that?
I wasn't hitting sort of my mid-long irons quite well. All day, and it was a downhill lie, and it was sort of right in between clubs. I think it was, I had 7 iron, it was about 180 to the front downwind of the downhill lie. I was like, it's a 7 iron, and I had to just absolutely pure it to make it. I was thinking, if I hit 6 and I hit it really good, it's going to pitch back edge and go over in the water again. So all I saw was just a layup, and I thought you could use the slope, use a bit of spin and bring it back down near the hole. I thought that was the best play.
Well, I tell you what, you turned what we thought was a sort of backup play into a birdie, and I think you eagled it the next day.
Yeah, it's good. I had a comfortable 8-iron in the next day, so I could go for it. I had a good lie, good yardage, so I had nothing to worry about.
Andrew, your schedule for the next 2 or 3 months?
I'm going to play Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Dubai. I'm not sure if I'll get into Malaysia. If I do, I'll go there and Thailand as well. Which means I'll miss India and maybe the first one in South Africa and then play the 2 in South Africa from there. So it'll be something like that.
Well, it's a lovely problem to have because it looks like you'll have your pick through 2015. Great start, tremendous play.
Cheers, thank you. Yeah, it'd be good to sort of pick and choose, and if I feel like I need to miss a week and practice a bit more, it'd be good, you know. I can sort of take that off and prepare well for the next one.
Have you set yourself any targets for the year?
Not really. I haven't really sort of sat down and thought about it. I thought, just get this one out of the way, see what kind of happens. Obviously, one of the goals is to retain the card and just sort of see how I get on. But really, my main goal every week is just to prepare well, you know, make sure I do everything and go in with the best chance every week to do as well as I can.
Well, listen, Andrew, well played last year to get yourself into the position on the European Tour. Terrific start. All you got to do is keep it going.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for spending time with us. Good luck.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, well done, Andrew. It's, you know, it's like you say, Ewan, to get your start under your belt like that, it just takes so much pressure off.
Well, if you go 2 or 3 months and the money isn't coming in and you're slipping down the Race to Dubai, then panic starts to set in. He won't rest in his laurels, I'm sure, but I love the way he played that final round with a smile on his face, played with a minimum of fuss, and played so well in such high company. So it is a great start for him, and now he can go out there and enjoy the next tournament. If he has another check on the board, then things become a little easier. I wouldn't say easy, but a little easier.
Yes, a little easier. That's the key thing. And now, one man that's certainly making his mark on the European Tour is England's Danny Willett. Fresh from winning last week at the Nedbank, he finished tied for fourth this week.
Fourth overall is all right. The position that we were in, obviously, with 4 holes to play was a bit better. It's just been one of those days. Didn't really too many bad shots. You know, you obviously get the wind swirling around here. You're trying to play for relatively small margins when the greens are firm. First and fourth, you know, we came out for 2 weeks. First and fourth, you're not going to grumble.
Absolutely, because when you look back on that on the flight home, that's going to be wonderful reading on the Race to Dubai, everything that goes with it.
It is, you know, I mean, I don't know what fourth play picture up here, you know, but we're going to be top of there for a long time. It just would have, you know, would really be nice to go 1-2 or 1-1. So, just a disappointing finish.
Big talent, though. A friend of the show, Ewan, Danny Willett.
Wonderful. 65-66 on the weekend at the Nedbank in the very best of company. 30 really good players down there. A lot of world ranking points. Big prize fund, so a lot of pressure. But as I say, he's played very well all through this year, and he deserved the win the week before. He's followed that up with another top five place at the Dunhill. Life right now for Willett is excellent.
And how do you think he is mentally? Is this the end of the year or the start of the year? It's very confusing.
I would think mentally he'll be looking at the end of the year, and he'll want his holidays, his rest time now, enjoy Christmas with his family. He's just about to get married. proposed down there in Sun City. So I think he will look that this is the end of the year. Then, of course, as soon as the year turns and we move into 2:15, he has to get focused again because top of the race to Dubai, there's an awful lot of prizes coming his way if he can stay there.
Yes, it's going to be a good Christmas for the Willetts, no doubt about that. Now, last week, tips. Oh, dear. Now, I've pleaded with my producer, Ewan, about the tips last week. It's a sore subject, and you know, this is heartfelt. I really am struggling to listen to this next bit of audio.
Well, I'll tell you who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for a man who, for him, had a quietish year last year. First time he came out on tour, he won four tournaments in the first year in 2012. That is Brandon Grace, and I think he's going to start winning tournaments again, so I'll go for him.
Richard Boxall, Bob on the money.
Well, I see at the top of the tipping Race to Dubai League, it has Murray, Stenson, Dubai, as Boxall, Grace, South Africa, and that's it.
Yeah, I know. What are you saying?
What I'm saying is you haven't managed to find a winner.
Well, I think you're not doing the back catalogue enough justice. Trust me, I've come through with some... I've plucked some wins. Brooks Koepka, Turkey, thank you.
Everybody knew Peter Thompson was going to win the Open back in 1955.
Brooks
Everybody
Koepka,
knew that.
You're ignoring me. Brooks Koepka, Turkey, bang, thank you. Who was second? It wasn't Dan Roebuck, because he went for... Unfortunately, Lucas Bjerregaard was in second spot going into that last day, and then after being level par through the first half dozen, shot 89, Ewan.
Terrible. Just one of these days. I've had days like that. You've had days like that playing when you've been in a reasonable position and just couldn't produce. The one thing, he mustn't let that really destroy him.
No.
Because it's happened to every player at some point in their career, usually early on in their career. If he can look back and see what went wrong and take out the things that he needs to sort, then it could actually be a positive for him.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of good young players come onto the tour, and Lucas is as good as any that I've seen, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in 2015. It's over, 2015, January's not far away. Lucas Bjerregaard charging forward onto the European Tour. Top tens, please, Ewan, from the Alfred Dunhill Championship.
There was a tie in eighth place, Sean Norris and Tjaart van der Velde, both South Africans, Thomas Peters from Belgium alongside them, a player we should watch for the future for sure. Francesco Molinari will be disappointed with the 76 on Sunday. He's rather better than that. And David Drysdale finished 9-under par alongside him. Danny Willett, we've already talked about his fourth place. Trevor Fisher, who won the chase to the Investec and defends that in 3 months' time, finished alongside Willett. And the top three, Andrew Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, and, of course, the winner, Brandon Grace.
So, you and the brand-new Race to Dubai. Standings, please, top ten.
There's a tie, in actual fact, in ninth place. Sweden's Jonas Blix and Tongchai Chaidi from Thailand. Ahead of them, the evergreen, the timeless, Miguel Ángel Jiménez. He's in eighth place. Kirdad Apibanrat in seventh. Brandon Grace's win takes him up to sixth place. And ahead of him, Marcel Siem in five. Oosthuizen in four. Luke Donald with his fine performance at the Nedbank is third. And Ross Fisher is just behind Danny Willett. A great start for the two Englishmen.
Yeah, it certainly is. And world rankings, please.
American Ricky Fowler in 10th, fellow countryman Jordan Spieth in 9th. Jason Day, who's been quiet the second half of the season, is in 8th place. And then there was the one change in the top 10. Jim Furyk drops to 7, Garcia moves up to 6 with his fine performance in Thailand. Justin Rose in the top 5. Bubba Watson, the Masters champion, in 4th. Adam Scott, who came very close once again in Australia last week, is in 3rd. And the two players at the top are both from the European Tour. It's Henrik Stenson in 2, headed by McIlroy.
Lovely, thank you very much. Now, we need to congratulate Lee Westwood after he captured his 14th title in Asia with a one-shot victory at the Thailand Golf Championship. Westy began the day in 3rd, 2 shots back from Marcus Fraser, but captured the title with 7 birdies in a 5-under-par round of 67. It was his 42nd career title for the former world number one. So a nice way for Lee to get to the end of the year, Ewan.
Yeah, it's been so close, hasn't it, over the last 2 years. His driving seems to be the same every time he goes out there. His iron play is good because he's normally playing them from the right places. It's really a question of how well Lee putts, and if he putts well, he contends.
Yeah, he can contend next year in the big ones as well. Don't worry about that. Now, elsewhere, Westwood's former Ryder Cup teammate and captain Colin Montgomery was officially crowned the European Senior Tour number one player in Mauritius. Monty signed off a sensational 2014 season by receiving the John Jacobs Trophy after finishing 6th in the MCB Tour Championship. A good first year for Monty.
Fantastic first year to tuck away two majors. The main majors have eluded him over such a long period of time. And that's given him new life. And you need that at 50. You need something to energise you. And his performances have been quite sensational. And, of course, he's dominated when he's played in Europe as well. So no reason to think that's going to change next year.
Yes, it has been a really good year for Monty, no doubt about that. And England's Charlie Hull has become the youngest winner at 18 years of age to win the European Tour Order of Merit after finishing tied for fifth at the Dubai Ladies Masters. Incredible, Ewan.
Remarkable achievement. To play under that amount of pressure at that age and perform so well has to be commended. And when you think 18 years of age, she has 25 years at least ahead of her. So we're going to hear a lot about Charlie Hull, I think, in the decades ahead.
Yeah, she's a remarkable young lady. She really is. And by the way, the swing is getting better and better all the time. So bad news for everybody else, I'm afraid, because Charlie Hull is here to stay. And we must congratulate Rory McIlroy on a phenomenal season. Two majors in the bag, a WGC, the BMW PGA Championship, world number one status, and unfortunately just finished second in the Sports Personality of the Year Awards, but that is a joke. However, there was success at the awards. Captain Paul McGinley picked up the Coach of the Year to finish 2014 in style, and we asked him about it.
That night was tremendous, and it was a great honour for me to have on behalf of the team, but I have to say, I was tinged with a huge amount of disappointment that Rory didn't win. I think, arguably, he's probably had the best year any European has ever had anywhere in the world over the last 12 months. And not to be recognised as the number one sportsman in Britain is, for me, disappointing, because I think he deserved that. But that's probably me speaking with my golf goggles on and my understanding of Rory, particularly the role that he played in the Ryder Cup as well, too. So that was disappointing, but for me personally, it was great. But it was very much for the team. I had a big team behind me, great vice-captains, statistics team, right down to the team, Richard Hills and his staff, in terms of off the golf course and what people were able to help me with and basically make me look good as a captain.
Two things, Ewan. Firstly, the McIlroy near miss in the Sports Personality.
Well, I think the disappointing thing about that is we may never have another golfer win it, because we may never have another golfer win two majors, the flagship event of the European Tour, a World Golf Championship. He dominated the Ryder Cup as well. He did pretty much everything. And I said, take nothing away from Lewis Hamilton. A wonderful performance from the Formula One driver, but I think it should have been Rory.
That's how we feel about our sport, isn't it? We can't help it. And for Paul McGinley, a fantastic year for him, really.
He's handled himself so well ever since he was made captain. And it's a long term, a very short playing time of 3 days, but a tremendously long term to organise everything. And McGinley should be very proud of himself. And I suspect he is, but he will keep it to himself. He was a dream captain.
Well, that's about it from the two of us for now. Many congratulations to Brandon Grace for his wire-to-wire victory at Leopard Creek, and to Lee Westwood, Colin Montgomery and Charlie Hull for their achievements this week, and of course to Rory McIlroy for being the best player on the planet. The tour takes a well-earned break for the next few weeks, but that doesn't mean we do. We have two special shows for you to look forward to. Next week, we look back at the four major championships of 2014 with myself, Richard Boxall and Bob Bubka. But until then, from Ewan Murray...
What are you getting me for Christmas?
I've actually got something rather huge lined up, but it's very cheap, and it's coming your way on the 25th. Yes. Open up your hearth. It's pretty big as it is. You can walk into it. It needs to be bigger. Join us and have a great week. Bye for now.